It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 1014.
Happy Monday, everybody.
TJ and I had a great weekend. We went and watched some jazz.
Oh, Scooby Doo bop 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 bop.
It was, I mean, what I like about it, it was for MTV and Visit Vic. We've been doing this thing where we go to different events and we do Insta
live
stories.
Live music.
But good excuse. I don't know whether, I think it would be a hard sell if I was like, TJ, do you want to come out with me on Saturday night and watch some jazz?
For one, the hard sell would be you'd never sell that.
So you would do it?
If you ask me, yeah, but you don't do that.
I think I could be the guy that does it. So, do you think that maybe post-show, post-business, you and I could be catching up Saturday nights to go to see a musical?
I mean, it would be a bit weird because you're not into that.
I love musicals.
Musicals, yeah, fuck yeah. But that was okay.
So, you and I, Harry Potter, August.
I'd do that, dude. Fuck yeah. I love that.
Right.
I mean, it ticks a few boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday nights, like nice and warm in these theatres.
Yeah.
But the all the people there for you. There's a lot of boxes it doesn't tick for you, but it ticks an adventurous Josh Jansen
box. Even like Movida beforehand, we had a espresso martini.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, living on the edge.
Yeah. I was sitting there just being like, oh, there's something a bit funny that you're having to do this with me, but I loved it.
Yeah, because you don't do it. Like, what you're describing is Jess's Saturday nights.
Yeah.
She's in the room, but she didn't do that on Saturday night. Uh-huh.
She went to Faulkner.
Okay, cool. As in the suburb.
Yes.
What's in Faulkner?
Her friend lives there.
Yeah, I guess you'd move out that far if you wanted a nice house.
Yeah. I believe GB was looking at Faulkner.
Yeah. I mean, everything's pushing out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
that was real estate chat.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'd never heard about Faulkner until GB started talking about Faulkner a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing right now.
It is great when you hear about a suburb in your own town and you hold quite highly that you are well traveled in your own, in your own municipality.
Well, you're very good at that, but there's guys that are even better. I found a YouTuber last night that they're called Geo Freaks or something.
Geo Freaks.
I don't know if that's exact. It's Geo something. And what
they
do.
I like Geo Freaks. Because let me just guess what a Geo Freak is. They're obsessed with geography, but to the point where they speak longitude and latitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are the guys like, where are you? And they won't say the suburb. They'll say longitude, latitude.
So how fun is this? So this guy has people send in photos of them in different random locations. It doesn't have to have like a big landmark or anything.
Yeah.
And he has to work out exactly where they are.
Okay. And is he a rat that he's actually just pulling
looking at the metadata? No. Yeah, so he's looking at like the cobblestones or things like that. And so and there's another guy that he does collabs with, and there is a website you can go to where it will put up a random spot in London.
Mm.
I wonder if this exists for Melbourne too. I think it probably does. So it uses Street View. Shows you a random street and you have a map and you have to zoom in and click where it is and
that's cool.
Go next.
He's an internet sleuth, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if this person's used this for good other than just fun.
Well, one of them is a taxi driver in London. So, you can imagine, you know, they're very, very good.
The rules. No, I remember hearing to get past the test as a taxi driver.
Yeah.
You even need to pay a fee to be an Uber driver in New York City. I remember hearing that. You have like a license to be in Manhattan. I wonder if they did anything. I guess you're not. It's the modern day. An Uber driver in London just has a map. His phone is up.
Well, I think that there was probably more prestige. Or if you think about like cab licenses and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily there.
Over there, like as in the prestigious to be a cab driver.
Yes.
In the old London cabs. Mm-hmm. I mean, even there's a time went to 2012, the back end of the back end of yellow cabs in New York City. Mm-hmm. I got in a couple. Mm-hmm. We went 2019, did we?
It definitely didn't go 2020. I went 2018 to New York.
Yes. And then 19? No, we didn't go to New York.
We went to LA in 2019.
But even when we were there, yellow cabs were very few and far between, other than a Prius.
Yeah.
Yellow cab Prius. Mm-hmm. And we got Ubers.
You don't think it's the same?
Not like the old...
Like the Lincoln? I don't know. So, like the black cars are the Lincoln. Looking. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're like the classic New York City yellow cab. Mm-hmm. Gone. Oh, not as many.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge amount. I think they're still around, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was... I just remember taking a photo. It must have been the same year, 2012. And it's just at traffic lights and that's all that there is.
Yeah.
I think there is a bit of... I think that you just become a little bit blind to it when you're not needing them.
I was looking around and I noticed that it's just not what it was.
Okay.
And maybe they're gimmicks now. Maybe there's a few that keep... The point being, the cars are very old. Mm-hmm. To have a very old cars on the road is a bit of a pain in the bum. Mm-hmm. The bum.
All right, Dad.
In Singapore, they don't have... No bad cars.
They have bad cars.
Yeah, that's their rule. No bad cars.
It's like the opposite of Cuba.
No old cars is essentially. It like once it gets to a point, they cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
And the licenses for cabs there is crazy.
I remember you telling me.
Yes, chatting to a cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
They've just gone into lockdown again.
Yeah, I saw.
Four weeks, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sucks.
It's annoying.
They didn't have it. They didn't get, put through the ringer the first time round.
Yeah.
But it seems like it sucks.
One of the Gronks Instagrammed us and said, guys, thank you so much. For the past few years, I've been listening for a long time. Enjoy the last couple of weeks.
That's nice.
Enjoy it.
That's nice.
And so I think that that's a good
enjoy it, Jess.
Reminder, yeah. Just enjoy take it all in. We've received heaps of lovely
emails.
Messages.
Yeah. hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Yeah. See, it worked.
Yeah. Rach, thank you. We got one from Charlotte, which was lovely. There's heaps.
Yeah.
We'll go. We'll actually have. Maybe let's do that tomorrow. We'll read out a couple. But we did have a couple of questions. So, Josh and Jordan both had the question.
Yeah. And I think that Jordan is actually Josh.
As in
Josh
Jordan's
created a new email address for Josh.
I'm joking.
So, Jordan said, he's the two emails. He wants to know the...
he wants the spreadsheet.
He wants the spreadsheet of all the
items.
I
think the first one was a YouTube comment.
That's right.
But Josh, he's a great wedding celebrant. Used to do a bunch of radio stuff.
Yep,
anyway.
Yep. Would you let him marry you? Is he that good?
Yeah.
And you're not even thinking about getting married.
The annoying bit is he would have better hair because he's has a real sharp haircut.
Not hard, dude.
No, real sharp haircut. Real sharp haircut.
Do you know, just before we get to Josh Withers' question.
Yeah.
I am getting targeted for hair replacement therapy. It's even it's not the pills, it's the implants.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know why? Because I like watching the recovery story. So you have the guy and he's like, here I am and he's balding and then they're taking it from his asshole and putting it into his forehead. They take it from the back of your head.
Yes.
And then they implant them hair by hair. And it's crazy that your hair, if it's good at the back, will fucking grow up top.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It gives me as much joy as when I was a kid and they used to give you the seeds of grass and you put it into wet tissue.
Yeah.
And it'll grow on your bedside table. I was so happy when I watched
shit growing in
I
your
love
room.
Watching the stories of dudes who have got their hair put up front. And now they're just fucking happy about it.
Well, that's nice. There's
real great case studies. Anyway, I'm not the guy that needs it, but I love the case studies, so I'm getting targeted.
Oh, that's nice. It seems better doing it that way than taking some sort of medication that's going to change your hormones or something.
Wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
But it seems like it works.
Uh-huh.
Long road though.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man.
So a question.
Yeah. So Josh has said, hey guys, something you haven't covered yet in regards to stopping the show. Why? Mm-hmm. Is why. That's the question.
Yeah.
What we haven't covered is why, which we may have covered. You may have been doing your hair while we said it.
No, I think, multiple people. So
it gets blended. I think we did a few episodes where we sort of talked about it. Mm-hmm. And the first episode, we talked about the Daily Talk Show stopping. We didn't mention the big media company stopping. Mm-hmm. We did another episode. We talked about big media company stopping, which what is very highly attached to the Daily Talk Show. So if you just listen to one and then got caught a bit, you know, it might not be clear.
But also think about, like, I think there is a tendency to want to simplify things. So imagine someone gets a divorce and you're like, why?
C-U-N-T.
No, but so things could be complicated. It could be like, oh, you know, I love my partner, but there's this thing or that. Like, it can be.
Yeah,
it's not simple, right?
Someone wants to, you're a C-U-N-T like, and I hate
you. Or, yeah, I just fell out of love. Or, like, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe there was all this other thing. But, no, so I think that that's why. I think that we don't want to try and give some sort of pithy answer. Pithy? Pithy, I think that is. Like, a pithy answer, like a small, concise answer, when it's not as simple as that.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's just a feeling of burnout that I have.
Mm.
I think that just from a mental health perspective, feeling pretty run down, I definitely felt the responsibility of the business, the podcast, all of that sort of thing. Mm. And so for me, I think I also love change too. And so put that in with not feeling like, you know, I think we've done some great things. Mm. I think I had to make the decision for me personally that it's like, you know, to stop.
Mm.
Is that a fair?
That's a pithy answer.
Yeah. But it doesn't
because
then you say, okay, well, what do you got to do? Something.
No, because I think optically it might look like it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the thing you learn about stopping something while there is traction or it is working is that it can then be like, well, why would you stop?
Yeah.
And so because there's internal metrics, external metrics. And so if the internal metric isn't one of success, but the external one is working in one area, it's not making a shitload of money, but there's people listening, there's people that care, then it's like, that's the confusement.
Mm-hmm.
And do we only ever stop things when we've fucking had both fall to pieces, internally and externally?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's probably a bit more likely that people stop things when both are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
They feel shit about it and externally it's not working and they're like, I'm throwing the towel in.
Mm-hmm. But I think that we did a bunch of it. Like, you need to work out when the right time is to quit. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it too for you and I was realizing that there were common themes that would constantly come up in regards to, like, a lack of focus too. With us doing BMC and the Daily Talk Show, when we started, we wanted the Daily Talk Show to be the thing. By doing all of the client work, which, you know, was rewarding in its own way,
yeah,
I definitely always felt a lack of focus. Like, I felt like we sort of had the we were sort of running multiple businesses at once. And so I think a fair consideration or a fair argument someone would make would be like, well, why don't you just stop this thing and start the other thing? But I think that my perspective is nothing is permanent. Like, so there's obviously permanent things to what you, when you do things, but there's also like when you build stuff on relationships, when you have relationships, those things don't just go away. And so you and I will, you know, potentially work together. Jess will, you know, potentially work with it. Like, there's George, there's opportunities for us to still do things and test things out. But yeah, for me personally, I was like looking ahead at the next few years. And then I thought, okay, what's the likelihood that it's going to be less stressful than what it is now? And I made the call that unless there were huge, huge wins that were completely out of control, it would be a lot harder. And then I think that from my perspective, I wasn't up for it.
Mm. Yeah, it's like the thing that will be consistent is a bunch of pain in growth in all the areas.
Yeah.
At different times. And are you up for that? Are we up for that? And so because you can do it a different way. Not to say there's no pain in anything, like do this other thing. Won't be any pain. The other thing I was thinking is you never actually arrive. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think, so the goal, you can fucking arrive in Paris. It's probably not a good analogy because you can't travel. You can't actually travel. Travel bubble. We're closed until fucking next year or something. But the point is, if you think this is the end, it is of one thing. Mm-hmm. But if life is the fucking the mission,
yeah,
you like that's all everybody has is their.
It's the infinite game thing, right? Like it doesn't feel like. Pete Shepard sent me a great blog post by Seth Godin.
I was going to say, hoping it was his blog post. Yeah. A great blog post by him.
No, and it's
Do you reckon Seth sends his blogs to anybody?
Definitely. He's like, yeah, here's some inspo. No, but he has a great post where it's called something like 32 years of projects. And I think he might update it regularly, but he puts every project that he's worked on over the past 30-odd years.
What does a project look like?
So, it could be writing a book. It could be starting a software company. And so, that resonated with me, which is like...
How specific does he get with his projects?
Yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, yeah. Like, he'll say what the book is or...
Is there a lot or is there a little?
It's probably... It feels like maybe there's one a year.
Out back.
No, it's probably like 1 year.
Okay, so it's so they're work-related.
It's like career kinda, sort of
okay,
stuff.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I think that's where things... I definitely love the project type of thing. Mm. But also, like, yeah, the thing is that the Daily Talk Show, whilst it's finishing up... Whilst BMC's finishing up, all of these things, like, it doesn't mean, it's not like you close the door and all of the learning and the impact and everything stays there. That goes with everyone else. And so, the exciting thing is that, our next whatever we decide to do as individuals, whatever George decides to do, whatever Jess, whatever Mason, like, everyone that's been a part of the journey has... come out of it better than when they started.
Yeah.
And so, from a why perspective, it's like a super personal, I think, which is, I think when you're in a partnership, it's hard because you are trying to... So, I can't give an answer for you because it's so different. And so, I think that's part of the difficulty where we're trying to work it out. It's like, okay... Like, everyone go, like, many people, like, so one observation is highly successful people that I know that have reached out to us, it's congratulations, let me know if you need anything. It's very simple like that. Mm. There's another group, which is, like, I think they're still trying to find the thing, which is completely relevant and, like, is a thought process, which is like, what are you doing next? What, like, it gets very practical. What happens with this? What happens with that? What happens? And I just find it interesting how different perspectives people have when they're in different parts of their careers.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Especially, I think people who are in the midst of building something would definitely, they're in the problem solving mode. Which is natural. And I think that's potentially an area that you and I have been in for the last 3 years. It's quitting isn't necessarily an option. And so, it's like, okay, well, how do you solve this? How do you solve that? Whereas, I think there's a version which is stripping it all down, removing the noise. You know how I mentioned the creativity's destruction or whatever? Yeah. A Picasso said that, by the way. Yeah. I Googled it. I'm like... I definitely didn't make this up. It's definitely a thought that's been out there for a while.
What did Picasso ever do?
If I can, some nice stuff.
Was Picasso the sicko as well?
Don't know.
Behind the scenes?
No idea.
One of them was a real sicko.
Yeah.
Different time.
Any other thoughts on why?
No. I think there's like, yeah, you touched on it all.
Mm. Like partnership. The other thing too on partnerships, I think specifically, is they're definitely a different beast. So it's like there is a consideration with like big decisions and all of that type of thing run differently when you're in a partnership.
Mm.
And sometimes that works well. So I think that the reason we had a lot of our success was because of the partnership. But then there's the difficult decisions are harder as well within partnerships. Yeah, it's a, this is my first partnership. I think the
my last partnership.
I think that there's
my last ship. I now do speedboats. Operated.
A jet ski. You're a jet ski guy.
Turbocharged.
Yeah. No, but I think that the thing is, I personally feel like I'm always thinking about you as well. Like if whenever a decision's made, it's not this thing of like I'm doing whatever's best for me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And whilst everyone, in the end, you've got to do what's best for you personally, there's always a consideration as well. And so, I think that that's a interesting element to something like this where it's like, I mentioned it last week, it's like thinking through everyone's plan and knowing that even for like what you and I have spoken about in regards to, you know, not necessarily work-life balance, but being there as a parent and all that sort of thing. I think that there's a clearer version of that in the future version where you're going now versus having 25 staff and being or having 8 staff and being on the tools and stressing about cash flow.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is how many times have we workshopped other ideas of what the future will look like?
Mm-hmm.
And when you then both can't get to an understanding of what another version of the future could look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Then it's like you talk through what it looks like to stop, and then you're like, not necessarily answered the question, but it's the only one that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which that's exactly what happened.
I think the other thing too is my default is doing stuff that doesn't necessarily connect that well to financial outcomes, but I think they are outcomes that lead to, for me anyway, a richer life and creative and fulfillment and all that sort of thing. And the hard thing is that when you have a beast that's a business, I think that just naturally you can paint yourself into a corner where you can only make decisions that are financial. So for instance, like the Daily Talk Show was sort of our love project or the thing that we were comfortable not making money on. But as the guy who always says, I want to do documentary and all that sort of thing, in the current capacity, I can't take on another risk. I couldn't say to us, you know what, like let's, and I tried, like I think that I sort of tested the waters a bunch on that, which is like, let's try and do an original doco stuff, and sell it. But it's like, you then, when you look at the business, and this is where we had the struggle in the early days, is it's all weighted on dream, future, like, you know, it's not connected to a financial outcome.
Mm.
And whilst as an individual, I could actually do a few years of a project where it's like I'm making minimum wage doing freelance stuff to give me the capacity to have a really big swing at an original piece.
Which isn't this. And so that's the thing. But also, for anyone who thinks that there is like the doco thing for you, it's like there is a lot of benefit that comes from landing somewhere else, because just the way you think it needs to be doesn't actually end up always being the way that you'll get there.
Yeah.
And so, for example, you do this, learn from, you know, you learn whatever you're doing, you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, if someone says, you shouldn't do a partnership because they got burnt or it ended bad, you know, whatever, it's like, fucking do the partnership. Just do it.
Yeah.
Because whatever happens, you lose money, you're in debt. Like, whatever that version is the version you need to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's trying to work out why, like in general, like why are you doing something?
Mm.
And I think that the feeling that I've had is that we've been in a fight or flight position where it's exhilarating because it's we're constantly problem solving and trying to make things work. And when things are working and things are happening, like it can be very exciting. But there's also an element of it, not comparing us to Elon Musk, but you can go down the route of getting a bit fucking puffy, a bit sick, a bit, you know, because it's like, it's just this. And the thing is that for me, it only takes like a few days of not like sleeping right for me to feel fucked.
Mm. And you don't wake up a billionaire.
Yeah.
Which is a bit annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you could just, you know, wake up a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then quit and then spend your money on something.
Mm-hmm. But it's not, I think the other thing too is it's not about like, it's definitely not the starving artist thing. For me, it's actually closer to when I mentioned the minimum wage thing. It's actually more a process of minimalism plus putting your efforts into things that you believe in. And I think that that's what we did. I think we did that for 3 years and we got to this episode 1000 milestone.
There's plenty of people who have a job, have a creative project on the side. And I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's the tricky bit is when you look at someone else and think, oh, they've got this, they've got that, and I want to be, you know, it's in the same space as mine. Like that's all it is. That's all. That's all that where that pain comes from.
But it's even I think that the my view on say becoming a YouTuber, which I remember 3 years ago, that was for us one of the considerations on maybe becoming a YouTuber. I think that what we've learned through this is a lot in regards to what, like the expectations are very well set around what that actually is, what the pain is. Look at, you know, Gronks like Cam Shand, who has just been consistent and, you know, he's got an IT job. He's able to sort of find that balance. And I think that works really well for a lot of people.
Mm.
And so, I think that the...
Oh, you know, but they say if you bloody find what you love and you never do it every day, you won't work another day in your life. That piece of advice is like, who Jerry Seinfeld says, yeah, but then you'll never have another day off in your life.
Yeah.
There is a version of you've got a job,
mm-hmm.
you make a bit of money, but then you get to do your thing that you love.
Mm.
And then it might turn into it. That's the thing. It might turn into, it's weird because when it is your job, you know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Take any job you've ever had and what's a hard time in it. Not that every moment will be hard. You'll probably have a lot more enjoyment doing the thing that you're passionate about every day for your job, but that doesn't remove stress, anxiety, pressure. It doesn't remove any of the human experience that is had in most things in life.
Mm-hmm. There's also something I think that when you're on the in the marathon and you're like you're nonstop, there's a point where cognitively, I haven't run a marathon, but there's sort of
in a fucking rickshaw or something?
I filmed Jules Lund doing a marathon. Yeah,
well, he couldn't have done that without you.
Yeah, thank you. No, he wouldn't have been filmed.
So you ran a marathon.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
There was a point where he was doing it and we had a little pub lunch. In London. Yeah, it was beautiful. Little green peas and mashed peas.
Floating pie.
I love mashed. Do you like mashed peas, by the way?
Mashed peas.
Mashed peas with a bit of mint?
Not really.
I can imagine Jess like it. Jess, do you like mashed peas with... You don't?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, they're not.
Look at the
great
shit that she eats for... She has turkey mince.
Turkey boy. Little turkey number. No, but that's lean. That, she's getting the macros out of it that she needs. Yeah. Protein, fiber.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Some, you know, fibrous carbohydrate.
But anyway, the thing is that like when you're on the run, when you're doing all of that sort of thing, it's I think that you can lose perspective on something. So it's like you're just thinking about, okay, one step ahead or whatever it is, and And I think that what we're almost doing is it's saying, okay, you could be planning where the run is next, or like, okay, which direction you're going to go into. But I think the question that I want to ask is, it's like, oh, is running the best way to get there? Is there another, could I jump on a bike? And and when
you take any metaphor about success that you've heard, you know, Olympic, you know, marathon runners aren't not in pain.
Mm-hmm. It's where you put it.
It's where you put it.
Pain. That's what Seth says, yeah.
And so, everything has pain. Mm-hmm. Do you want to got pushed through that pain? If the answer is no, that's okay too. I'm not up for pushing through the pain of this endeavor, which is also cool.
Yeah. I think that the thing is that it doesn't, the beauty of, I think, where we are as individuals is that we're proud of, like, this isn't like trying to create some sort of story or whatever, but like, I'm proud of what we've done. I don't feel I don't feel that energy of disappointment. Mm. Because I know that it's like that whole mask thing, you know, if I can put on your mask before you help people or whatever, this is what we're trying to do. And then we'll be able to come back and do something cooler or not, or just completely like be off the grid, live on Stanley.
Mm. You should at least go there. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I watched The Mask on the weekend. Remember that film?
No.
Jess, The Mask? Somebody stop me.
Is that Jim Carrey?
Yeah. There's so many classic
Jim Carrey's got a few struggles.
You've been good,
know?
Kid.
Yeah.
As long as I'm around, you're always really second best.
When I think of The Mask, I think purple and green.
Suit.
Is it purple and green?
Green, the face is green, yes. Mm-hmm. He wears all these colourful suits, yellow suits. Mm-hmm. He's so good, Jim Carrey. So good. He's not everyone's cup of tea. Yeah.
Shards of Sunset starts back tonight.
And also, a horrible TV show. It looks like it's fucking 40 years old.
Well, not the new season. It's just
Just looked at the season. It looks really tacky. Yeah.
It's rude. But also, The Hills, New Beginnings, season 2 is back as well.
That's real people. That's the real Hills people, like Spencer and
yes,
Heidi.
But you know, Shards of Sunset are real people too.
No, but as in that it's not some
reboot. No, it's
the
like
Hills is a fucking show that we watch when we're teenagers.
But Shards have had 10 seasons or 9 seasons. Yeah. Shards of Sunset have been around for a long time. But the New Beginnings are interesting because it's just the first episode is them coming back.
Who, The Hills? This is
The Hills. Yeah.
I follow Spencer Pratt.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Crystal Boy.
Yeah.
He's charging. Yeah, he's got something up his ass and it's probably a jade egg.
I could really relate to him though because he rocks up. And he's wearing like, he's got his like real nice clothes on that he wears, but it's a bit tacky. And then he's got this like
hemp wear.
Yeah. It's like a rug over him.
Oh yeah.
I said to Bray, I'm like, I think he's doing that cause he's put on a little bit of weight. And sure enough, he's like, they had a ceremony where it's like you put in, something into the ground so you can like let it free. They use some of the
put his jacket up.
Smoky stuff. You know, what's the smoky stuff? Like that you do around your house?
Not time. Something burning the like midnight oil.
Incense-y sort of stuff.
What, what is it called, Jesse? When you light that stick of sage.
Sage.
Got it.
Yeah, they would do this sort of a sage thing.
Yeah.
And everyone was going around and Spencer put in a pie.
What kind of pie?
Is it pot pie or something? It's some sort of pot pie, but he said he was 240 or something pounds he wanted to get down to what he was, which is 170.
He's put on 30 kg.
Yeah. Like but it was interesting seeing everyone getting back. Audrina's sort of she just completely isolated during COVID, like didn't see anyone. She was sort of feeling
good
a bit down.
They got a bunch of money, these people from the years. Yeah. Spencer is one guy that will get back to you on Instagram if you message him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mate talks to him.
Of course.
Fitzy's obsessed with that whole thing.
Oh, that's funny.
And writes them. There's someone else in the Hills.
Rod Stewart's son, Sean, is on the series.
Is he?
Yeah. Also, Pamela Anderson's son.
Really?
Yeah. It's a good cast. But if you just want to disconnect.
Like, were they a part of it?
No, so they came with the New Beginning stuff. Some people came into it. You know, the chick that was the actor on the OC. What was her name?
Misha Barton.
Misha Barton.
Yeah.
So she was in New Beginnings, so she came on the heels, which is a little sort of weird, right? Like it's a...
Well, because the OC was a television, like, actor.
Yeah, yeah. But the Hills was, like, based on...
Yeah,
like, so Laguna was the reality version.
Yeah, what's she like?
And she was really nice. But Spencer's sister is pretty fucking out there.
In what way?
Stephanie Pratt. Just real nasty piece of work, I think. But I haven't seen Whitney... She's not in this new season yet, and that wit is that she's the one with Timmy, her husband with the kid's name, and they do the reaction videos.
You'd need a bunch of cash to come back, or you've got to be desperate for it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they made a bunch of cash.
Yeah, well, I think that that's what happened. I think that sort of what I got from Pam Anderson's son was that life was like, he was kicking goals because he'd just done The Hills.
Okay.
Like, he just did the first New Beginning season, and then they went into lockdown, and then all of his, you know, DJing work or whatever he does dried up.
Jeez.
Anyway.
What a time to be alive, huh?
hi@thedailytalkshow.com.
Any more questions? We'll keep them coming because we'll answer them.
Yep.
And if we haven't answered why,
I
haven't got much.
Jess, have we answered why? Yeah.
She's
hasn't got the mic on.
But I can't hear her because she hasn't got the mic on.
Okay.
Right. She doesn't want to talk. Why? She doesn't
thumbs
want to answer
up,
that.
Thumbs up. She's done.
She's done. Yeah.
All right. Have a good one, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.